You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here, and today I am hanging out with a ninja. Well, at least she calls herself that. She calls herself a LinkedIn super ninja. I know that because I'm looking at her LinkedIn profile right now, and there's a lot of proof about both her knowledge in the area of LinkedIn and her knowledge in other areas that we're going to be talking about, sort of how to position yourself in front of an audience that you want to sell into, support, and have them take you seriously, all by starting on a platform like LinkedIn, if I can say the words properly, through developing real, honest relationships with others. So to help me with that, I've said she several times. You're probably scratching your head going, who's he talking about? I'm talking, of course, about Lorraine Duncan, who's joining me from the great state of Connecticut. I was trying to remember if it's the Cornerstone State. It's not the Keystone State. That's Pennsylvania. And I probably got them both wrong. Now I want to say Nutmeg. I don't know where Connecticut is in terms of nicknames of states, but you are in Connecticut. Lorraine, welcome to More Perfect Marketing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I told you I was going to babble before we really got into it today, and I probably babbled more in that opening than I've ever babbled before. Hopefully it made a little sense to our listeners, but we are going to talk about LinkedIn today. And this is a platform that I think professionals, business owners have seen change over time. It used to be all about getting, you know, finding the job. That's sort of where it started out. But certainly on this side of the pandemic, we're recording this in 2023, it has become a virtual version of what I think a lot of people used to do in real life in terms of networking, meeting people, and developing relationships. Some people know how to do that, not everybody. And so hopefully we'll uncover some of your tips on that topic today.
Absolutely. I love LinkedIn. I love being on it.
So I'm curious sort of how you started focusing in this area and what you observe most people doing in, on this platform. When we have expertise in certain areas, we also usually have strong opinions. And so I'm eager to hear some of yours.
Yeah. So I love to share my story about how I got started on LinkedIn, because it's actually a funny story. I was part of the first group of LinkedIn people. So like I was there, I went on and I was told when I got into business for myself to go on all the social media platforms. And at that point I was a business coach. And so I grew my business with LinkedIn, with different social media platforms, and I fell in love with doing social media. So that's how I morphed into this whole social media person. But fast forward, I took a beginner's course, like when LinkedIn first came out, how to use LinkedIn. I think it was how to use LinkedIn for your business or something. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, there's courses that will teach you strategy, and then there are courses that teach you tactics. And tactics don't last long, but strategy does. Mm-hmm. This was a course, and I didn't know the difference at the time because I was young in business. And so this was a course heavily on tactics. So there was this one tactic they told me to do called keywording. And so I started keywording my profile. And all of a sudden, I mean, I put social media marketing everywhere that I possibly could in my LinkedIn profile. And lo and behold, guess what happened to me? I was probably the very first ever person to break into LinkedIn's algorithm, which with my keywording, and they shut me down and put me in LinkedIn jail. So that's my great story that I love to tell people, because, you know, you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. Really, basically. And so fast forward to today is I always tell people when I'm speaking is I spend a whole lot of time on Facebook, but I get all my clients from LinkedIn. And that's a fact. It's just, you know, it's B2B. It's kind of like how I see it as a giant networking platform. Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, as if you are looking for a job, it's also a great job networking platform. And they have robust tools today that will help you find a job a lot quicker. I mean, because there's those, whatever, I can't even think of what you call them, those people, those headhunters that are vicious. So once you open that up, you will get hunted. Trust me. I get hunted and I don't even have it opened up. Mm-hmm. So, but that's how I started. I realized quickly that as soon as I started connecting with people, I would get three paragraphs of basically, excuse my language, but buy my shit. And I'm like, I couldn't figure out why would anybody want to network that way? I mean, I connect with you because I want to get to know you. I want to know if I can help them. I want to know if I can help you. I want to know if you can help, you know, if you can help me. And, you know, that's not how you start out a relationship. It's almost like going from, I always like to use this illustration as going from the first date, mm-hmm. you know, to the kiss. I guess now in 2023, it's probably the first date to the bedroom, but that's another topic, yes, for another day. But the bottom line is, this is what these people are doing. It's like, it's almost, and it's obnoxious.
We refer to it in our business as the connect and pitch. And yeah. I think it is obnoxious, and it immediately in my account gets them disconnected. So, yeah.
In fact, you know, just as a funny story, side story, you know, I very important. One thing, if you can learn anything about, if you're going to spend some time on LinkedIn, you want to make sure you're connecting with the right people. It's not anybody or everyone. Like, you can't work with everybody, but you can work with certain people. And basically, who do you want to work with? You want to work with the people that you enjoy working with, number one, that bring on passion and energy in you. And you know those people, the ones that are like, they're the top of their class, okay? You don't want to work with people that are going to drain you, micromanage you, and try to, you know, barter with you, because that's not going to make you money in business. So, funny story is, I was connecting. I can work with a lot of people, you know, brick and mortar. I can work with different professions. So I always like take a month and I focus on a profession. So I actually was looking for bookkeepers, and two things: bookkeepers this week and real estate brokers. So I started with real estate brokers, connected with a few, you know, one of them, I asked them how real estate life was going, because mm-hmm. around here, the inventory is low. So, you know, so the bottom line is somebody connects with me, and right after that, they write me a note. And I thought it was going to be the three paragraphs of buy my stuff. It was like saying, I'm really grateful to connect with you. Thank you so much for thinking of me. If you spam me within the next 30 days, I will cut you off. It was great. I actually copied and pasted that message because I'm going to start using it. It was so brilliant. Because that's what's sad is, like, you'll connect with somebody. The person doesn't even know you. Plus, they didn't even look at your profile.
Yeah.
And a lot of people want to connect with me, and then they ask me, oh, can I help you with LinkedIn? And I'm like, did you not read my profile?
Well, I think you and I both know that so much of that communication is automated. And yeah. And therefore, you know, that person's welcome message is never going to even be seen by somebody until it's too late, because their automation has probably, you know, been sent out in the interim. And so they're already in this guy's jail.
Absolutely.
I want to change things up, because you mentioned, right, that you move from one focus to another every so often, and you mentioned real estate, and I'm looking at your profile right now, and you don't only talk about real estate, but it's mentioned there. And so I want to sort of talk a little bit about this approach that you're taking, what you're doing to focus in a different, you know, area, different discipline, to build up connections and build relationships in each of those areas. What's the sort of strategic approach you're taking there?
Yeah. So the bottom line is to say that, like, the real strategic approach would be to niche down into one area, but I've always been very frightened to do that. And I don't know why. I do very well when I niche down. So this is one of my new tests, and I've been testing it now for 3 years, but with different niches. Mm-hmm. So with the real estate market, I love, and I get a lot of clients this way, is going in and doing a lunch and learn in a real estate agent's office. And then if somebody wants to hire me, they will. And it's usually that in, you know, in-person type of deal. So what I do is I focus on, it depends. Sometimes lately I've been doing real estate brokers, getting in contact with them and just writing a little intro message that, hey, just wanted to connect with you. I see you're a real estate broker. How's that going for you? Is there anything that I can do to serve you? In a sense, just a light message. I never just like do it, hit connect. Mm-hmm. I write something. In some cases, if I happen to know them, you know, because I is sort of local too, I just, you know, say, hey, I see that you're still working for, you know, Ravis, you know, blah, 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 blah. We met a long time ago. So I make that connection. Like, we know each other. Let's further that.
Yeah.
So then what happens is that you always want to make your profile client attractive. So, you know, meaning that when somebody goes to your profile, they're attracted. Some are the LinkedIn super ninja. Some is I'm an author. Some of it is I'm a podcaster. Some of it, I'm a trainer. Oh, look, she does real estate lunch and learns. My real estate agents are doing horrible at social media. I need to have her come in. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. I make it very easy. I have a book of chat right there. And all they have to do is click the button. I don't ask them to click that button. It's there. And it works. So then I move to a next step. It's like we communicate a little bit on LinkedIn. We communicate then about the time and when and where. So that's one strategy I use out of many. I change that headline all the time.
Yeah.
So recently, speaking of automation, I'm not sure if it's just for the premium members. I have to find out. See, I've been a premium member for so long. I don't know what the people who don't have premium, every once in a while, I have to go to my clients that don't have premium. And I look at their stuff just to see what's there. It is a little different. You don't have to have premium to be good. You could still get the same amount of quality stuff that I get with my premium membership, not having a premium membership. LinkedIn always wants to sell you that. But in the beginning, if you're not going to be consistent on LinkedIn, you don't want to spend the money on premium.
Yeah.
But anyways, every once in a while, what will happen is the automation stuff. You mentioned that.
Yep.
So the headline, it asked me if I wanted to change my headline, let AI enhance it.
Right. So, and this is actually very new. I think this came out like late July or early August of 2020.
Yeah, and it didn't roll out to everyone. So I mm-hmm. have 8 of my clients are premium members and 2 of them don't have it. So, but I did it. I just wanted to see you could revert back. I didn't press save. They did a horrible job with my headline. I would never use that as a headline.
Same with mine.
So I reverted back. However, I had a really kind of nice, about me section. It was a question and answer, you mm-hmm. know, like when you work with me, this is what we do. How do you work? You know, I had a bunch of questions and then I answered it and it really worked. And then I, you know, there's no clickable link in the about section. So, but I always do, I put my number there. And the reason is I don't put it in the contact information because that's right above the fold, but below you have to scroll down. And if you took the time to read my about section, which by the way, isn't about me, meaning I don't sit there and say, I'm great. I graduated magna cum laude from blah, blah, blah. I did this. I'm so great. I'm wonderful. Nobody wants to know how great I am. They want to know how I can help them.
Yeah.
So literally that's what I did is I put a number there and that's when I get the call. Don't get a lot of calls either. So a lot of people aren't reading any. So here's the thing is it's like everybody's, oh, you would put your phone number there. I'm like, why not?
Yep.
How many people actually read the about section? But they did. I did use the AI to change my about. I like it. The reason I like it because it put it into 2 paragraphs. I don't think anybody's about section should be more than 2 paragraphs. Because guess what? If it's longer than 2 paragraphs, it's like this. Ho-hum, boring.
Right. It's interesting because I'm breaking a lot of the rules that you're laying down here. I think I used to have my phone number and my email address in my about section. And in fact, one of the reasons why I was... So you've talked about connect with people who are very targeted. And I long ago, when I started my account, remember, you know, the being able to leverage having a lot of connections to be able to then get access to the people you wanted to, because you connect mm-hmm. to different sort of layers or levels of connections. So I have,
I have that. So, you know, it's just monthly. You know, I'll tell you another strategy in a minute that I use. So,
but one of the things that I also learned, and I've continued to do this, is at some point in the past, and I don't think LinkedIn does this anymore, is it would double check, do you actually know this person? If so, put their email address in. So I've always had my email address listed in my about section. So if they don't know me, they would be able to put it in so that they could connect with me.
Yeah, I do the same thing. That's actually funny. So my email, by the way, is in the contact section. It's just, I don't put my number there. I don't want to make it too easy mm-hmm. for someone to spam me, because believe me, I've gotten spammed. You know, somebody called me selling me. I remember when I was renting and I didn't have a chimney, and some chimney sweeper called me. It's like, it was weird. Yep. But, you know, what I was going to say is it's really important that you do have a diverse group of people. And I'm an open networker, as I can tell you are too.
Yep.
But I do have some criteria around that. I, you know, being that I am a premium and sales navigator girl, literally I can see when they last used LinkedIn. And if they're not active on LinkedIn, I don't connect to them. If they didn't take the time to fill out their profile, that's sketchy to me. So I don't connect with them. If they put a food picture, selfie, or a logo, unless they're a business LinkedIn page, I will not connect with you. And for the most part, if you don't have a banner, I will not connect with you. So I have a lot of rules, and that makes my people really not only targeted, but awesome people, because they get what business is all about and they get what LinkedIn's all about. Because there are people out there that are just on LinkedIn to get connected with somebody so they can spam your connections.
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
The one of the list that you just shared that I found most interesting was about how recently they've been active. And I think that there's something, you know, on all these platforms, we can make guesses around how their algorithms work and what they will help us with and what they won't. One of the things that I think LinkedIn is especially good at is helping you get access to and engagement with more people. When you're engaging with people who are active on the platform, it's going to be a lot easier to further that access. And so I think that's really smart of you to focus on people who are likely to be there. What I've noticed is connection requests and things that show up in your feed, et cetera, are more broadly available or widens the availability when you're actively engaging with people who respond back to you, whether it's in direct messages, in comments, et cetera. I'm curious if you've sort of, you know, had any anecdotal evidence of that sort of thing or other similar things to leverage when it comes to, you know, sort of what the algorithm reveals.
Yeah. So what I noticed, so in the beginning, when I first started using LinkedIn, you know, they said, oh, this isn't like Facebook. And then fast forward, this isn't like Instagram, you know, post maybe once a week and, you know, connect with people and talk with them in the messaging. And then I started to connect with people who, you know, either could be a strategic partner with me or could be a potential client, or, you know, sometimes I host summits. So maybe a guest on the summit, or at that point looking for guests on my podcast. But then what ended up happening was, as I moved forward, all of a sudden I decided I was going to post every day on LinkedIn. And as I'm connecting with people and posting, I'm realizing there was a correlation. Correlation was is that people, obviously those people who were active, were looking to see if I was active, and they started engaging with my posts. Mm. Now, I don't know, this is what, because, you know, when you're doing a scientific experiment, you have to have a, you know, a control. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a control because I just went head first into the whole experiment without actually. So I went fast. I didn't slow down and then start a new control and whatever. But what I did find was that I don't know if it's because I post every day, but I see a decline. So how I do it is in the dashboard, and everybody's dashboard, their own dashboard, they have something called analytics. And I'm always off the charts when it comes to my analytics. People are viewing my profile, and that's what I want. And, you know, there's things that you can do to make, to, you know, like turn creator mode on, have providing services for. There's all these things you can turn on to make sure that people are viewing your profile. But I'm happy with the views I get, so I'm not going to change that. So it's something that I do see a correlation. One other note, though, this came from LinkedIn. This does not come from me. They have changed the algorithm a little bit. They always do. But what they want to do is they want to place more importance on the creator. So as a creator, you're a creator, I'm a creator, they're going to place more emphasis on your first connections. So meaning that when I do a post, my first connections are going to see this post first, if they happen to be online at that time. Mm-hmm. And that's really important because LinkedIn wants to reward those people who are creators, who are leaders on LinkedIn, and who are engaging in the game properly. And, you know, they change a lot of things, but that's one thing that's always been important to them is trying to maintain, you know, they're not going to change their name to L, you know, or, you know, it's they're in it for the long haul. And I love their customer service. Try to get a hold of somebody on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter or YouTube. There's only like four professionals that aren't even working for YouTube running YouTube right now. It's hysterical. So you get in trouble. It's crazy. Oh, well,
I think if you think back to the difference between all of those other platforms that you talked about and the purpose of LinkedIn, and the reason that so many of the users pay directly into LinkedIn for access to their tools, is because it's a different type of social network. And it goes back to, you know, where we started this conversation, which is it's built to foster relationships between professionals.
Yeah. And I think it does that. I've met so many really, in fact, you know, I'm connected to this for my podcast. I'm connected to this thing called Podmatch. Mm-hmm. Guess how I found out about Podmatch? I was looking to be guest on people's shows.
Yep.
And somebody who I was talking to said, "Hey, have you ever heard of Podmatch?" And I said, "No." And so I looked it up, and that's how I got connected to Podmatch. If I wasn't networking on LinkedIn, I would have never found out about Podmatch.
Yeah. And I think Podmatch is how you and I got connected as well. So there you go. This episode would not have happened if it hadn't been for LinkedIn. There we go. So I wonder if we were to sort of talk about some practical tips for folks who are approaching LinkedIn. Maybe they've been there for a long time. They maybe flirt with it by, you know, logging in every once in a while, checking messages that, you know, they see alerts in their email and that prompts them to go over. How would you advise somebody who's now thinking, oh, maybe I should put LinkedIn back into my rotation of regular business building activities? What would you prioritize? What would be sort of the steps that they should take in terms of how they're approaching re-engaging on the platform?
Yeah, what I would suggest, of course, I always suggest everybody, whenever they decide they're going to do one platform or a couple platforms, is know your why, of course, know why you want to do it, and then have a strategy alongside of it. Figure out how you're going to do it, and to play big on LinkedIn, you really have to be consistent. Mm-hmm. So whatever that means, and if you're somebody who writes, and if you have a website and you're doing a blog post right now, there's nothing wrong with repurposing on LinkedIn. You know, you know what LinkedIn wants to see is they want to see experts. They want to pose everybody as experts, but they want to see relevant content that's going to solve a problem. And that's the way you want to position yourself as a business owner. You want to be the go-to person that's going to solve somebody's problem. So with that being said, what I would recommend, there's a couple ways we could go here, is start out small, you know, maybe, you know, during the weekday, you know, spend a few minutes a day on LinkedIn and doing one task and get it going good. Okay. And then what I recommend is start connecting with people that will have some meaning to you, like not just everybody, don't accept everybody's friend request or connection request, I should say, because not everybody's going to be a good fit for your LinkedIn networking. So you want to network, and that's what you want to just look at as networking. It's like, guess what? I don't have to get in my car at 7 o'clock in the morning and meet all these happy people in the morning. Who's happy in the morning? Jeez. But anyways, you can get up, you can go on LinkedIn and put it aside. And then maybe before you leave the office, check it out again one more time before you leave. You know, and one of the things that's amazing that people don't realize, once you open up the creator mode and the service provider mode, so you can get that clickable link on your above the fold. And if you need help with that, book a chat with me and I'll share how to do that. But what I was going to say is you could sign up for the newsletter, do the newsletter. And once you create a newsletter on LinkedIn, everybody you're connected to gets a notification. Some will subscribe, some will not, which is good. Only the people who really want to subscribe will. I mean, I actively make a choice when I go into my notifications, if I should say into my network, that's where you find it on my network. I actively choose what newsletter I want to be a part of, mm-hmm. you know, and they do too. And then every time a newsletter comes out, I do mine weekly. It goes out to my email list. It goes on my LinkedIn. I repurpose it. I make micro posts with it. So it's content. Everybody says, well, I don't have enough content. Once you start writing a blog post, you have enough content and you can definitely use it. I highly recommend using that newsletter feature, and it automatically goes into the featured section on LinkedIn. LinkedIn has a featured section. If you have a podcast, you could put your podcast in the featured section. If you have a program that you're selling, like I do the LinkedIn 13 minutes a day. So literally it's there and it's featured. No, a lot of people don't even know that it's there. And then before you start getting like buy premium or doing any of that stuff, make sure you're proficient on how you're reaching out to people, how you're connecting with them. And also make sure that you have some current recommendations, because a lot of times I do these LinkedIn audits. And whenever I do a LinkedIn audit, I see that the last recommendation they had from 2012, 2010, well, they're going to even wonder if you're still in business or doing what you say you're doing on the top, if mm-hmm. you haven't bothered to get a recommendation since 2010. I try to keep mine current. I think my most current one is August of this year. And I try to get one each month, and it's easy for me to get them because I do a lot of audits on LinkedIn. So it helps a lot. So that's what I suggest. Slow. So know why, be intentional about who you're going to reach out to. It's not everybody. Not everybody can play in your playground because you can't work with everyone. I don't work with other social media people. Yeah. You know, I may collaborate with them, but I don't work with them or work for them. You know, so I mean, I limit my social media people. I am connected to some, only the great ones.
Yeah. So just to recap, there were a bunch of things that one could do in there. But what the first thing I heard was to create some sort of routine, find a single task that you may do, you know, at the beginning of the day and the end of the day is sort of, you know, one kind of frequency that somebody might develop for themselves. You talked a little bit about creating content, different ways to create it, posts, getting more sophisticated with the use of newsletters by turning on the creator mode in an account, and then developing and making sure that you're consistently bringing in more social proof through recommendations. And the one thing I left out, of course, was having some criteria for the people you're connecting with. So, I mean, there's a lot there, but if you figure out a routine, then you know, it becomes obviously a lot easier. And I imagine folks who want to, who probably follow it in general, but want to follow it a little bit more specifically, ought to reach out to you. And I think this is probably a good time, if there were any, for us to tell them how and where they can reach out to you. But before we do that, by the way, I should say that I know that people at the very beginning were yelling back at me when I said Nutmeg State, because it is, in fact, one of the two nicknames of Connecticut, the other one being the Constitution State. I knew that you were dying to hear the answer to that riddle, everybody. So I thought I'd throw it in here. And now we should let Lorraine tell you where you can find her over on LinkedIn.
Yeah, you can find me at Lorraine Duncan, and I'll probably come right up because I think I went ahead of the other Lorraine Duncan. She's a photographer. So, you know, and I'm the cute one, you know, so just let you know, I'm just teasing, but you can find me there. And if you do connect with me on LinkedIn, write me a note. Just say, hey, I heard you on the David Baer show, and I'd love to connect with you. And also, like, if you are listening to this podcast now, and it's because of LinkedIn, just tag both, you know, share the podcast and share and tag both David and Lorraine. So that would be a really great thing to do.
That's awesome. And you've now sort of just given a tip a little bit about how to get extra reach with your content. So thank you for that bonus tip. Lorraine Duncan, this has been fabulous. This is a platform that I should be spending more and more time on, and I think you've inspired me to do so, and hopefully some of our listeners as well. So thank you for joining us.
And thank you for having me.
Indeed. Folks, if you know somebody who could benefit from listening to the conversation you just heard, and I'm pretty sure you do, please share this with them. In the meantime, my name is David Baer. You've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.